Good afternoon. I'm Will Murphy, news director at WFIU, and it's time now for Ask the Mayor. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong is on the line with us, and he's here to answer questions you may have about city issues. The phone numbers to call to speak with Mayor Armstrong are toll-free, 877-285-9348. In Bloomington, the number is 855-0811. If you prefer, you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Once again, the phone numbers are 877-285-9348, 855-0811. Or if you'd like to drop a comment or question via email, and somebody's already pursued that option, the address is mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Armstrong, welcome.
Hey, Will. Good to hear from you today.
Likewise. Let's start off with an item that's been on the burner for some months now, but we're coming to a resolution, hopefully, about it, and that's the city budget. That comes up tonight.
Yes, first reading of our city budget this evening, and, you know, it's a good budget. I think there'll be some things cut from it, which is fine. I have a good relationship with the city council, and we've all worked together, and we're just going to tighten our belts just a little bit tighter.
What's going to get cut?
Well, I think we're going to have some we've got a toter system here, a semi-automated toter system, and I think about $125,000 worth of the toters will be cut, which is okay because we've got a supply coming in from this year. So we should be okay for a period of time in that arena.
The folks in the production booth are giving me a look that's saying, is the mayor having an episode? They don't know what a toter is.
And
so I think we're talking talking the garbage system,
yes,
right?
Yes, our solid waste pickup. It's we went to a semi-automated system where we have one driver picks the toter up or the trash container and lifts it, dumps it, and sets it right back down. And I imagine there are many, many, many cities throughout the country that have that, but we've just started a couple years ago, and we're able to, use less people and still do a nice job. And in the neighborhoods, they look like little soldiers standing at attention. It makes the neighborhood looks much better. In fact, you know, some people have plastic containers, metal containers. Well, these are all look alike with serial numbers that are assigned to that home. So.
Okay.
It's a good system. That's going to be cut, and I think.
How does that translate in terms of service provided?
Well, we're going to be okay, only because it's going to take about 9 months for us to get another truck. So by the time that truck comes in, the next year ought to be coming up, and we can do the other half of the toters, and we should be okay. We ought to have a 100% coverage then. Throughout the whole city with the toters, because they're very expensive. They're about $58 a piece, and we provide one toter per household. So, we've had really good luck with that program because we started about 7 years ago. We had our brush pickup in these toters, and they have worked fantastic. They're solid. They're good. They work, and now we're doing the same thing. These are brown toters for solid the trash pickup, so they're also working very well. So,
we're not going to have a cutback in what you've got going. It's just scaling back your plans
We're going to be okay. It's just it's one of those things that we wanted to have them in hand, but it looks as though it still will all work out okay. We'll just be spending money at a later date versus right now.
What about what other kinds of cuts?
Well, we're going to lose, I think, a trailer out of our department out at MVH. That's not a big amount, but we're going to lose about $15,000 there, about $25,000 out of some park and recreation arenas. It looks like some police overtime. The chief came in and asked for an additional $100,000, a little over $100,000 in overtime, and we're looking at that and saying, how do we get to this number? And let's look and see what type of services that we perform for the community. And police departments get called for birthdays, and they want a police officer for this and that. We try to provide that service to them at no cost. Now, some of them, you can't do that, but we do everything we can, and sometimes we stretch. So we're just looking at the, you know, let's cut back on that a little bit, and let's look at our options. And the council have, they've assured me that, Mayor, if they need the additional money next year, somewhere down the line, they'll provide that money for them.
Okay, so, is that, do you think it's unlikely he'll get any of that $100K in this appropriation?
He will get at least half of it.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll get at least half of that money, probably a little more than half of the money. And then I've asked him to make sure you give me a list of absolutely everything that you do that causes or creates overtime. And people that you've turned down because you don't have the money in overtime. So it's not that services will be reduced. It's that some special services may be reduced. And those are the ones we need to take a look at. And I know people want police officers standing by for about anything. And that's good. That's fine. But at some point, if it's for a profit agency, they're going to have to sort of pay the officer overtime, I guess, out of their pockets.
Does this call for spending more for, say, another position, a line position in the police department, so you can sidestep this need for overtime?
No. That the chief looked at it as a way to not hire any additional staff. This is a way just to be able to pay the overtime that he feels is going to be needed for the year 2008 with all the duties that they perform. No additional staff, but this in the year 2008, his job is to look at manpower, what do we really need, what do we not need, things of this nature. So he's going to have a tough time next year looking at all these different things and coming up with the right answer. It may be a need where we need 15 new police officers. You know, that's a lot of money. But the chief's trying to do it on an additional $100 and $1,000 or $2,000 in overtime versus hiring a police officer. Because when you hire a police officer, it's just not the salary that you're dealing with, but as along with the salary, you're dealing with the extras that you get, you know, with your FICA and pensions and everything else of about another 30% on top of that. Then you have to buy an automobile, fit that automobile. You know, so it's
and it
quite
becomes
expensive.
A line item that comes back.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the chief was doing his due diligence in not wanting to hire any additional staff, although he probably, and I use that term, probably needs it. But I think the officers that we have now are very professional. They do a great job and have done a great job. And he was just trying to get some of these things taken care of.
Any other cuts that we can expect to see this evening?
Oh, if there are, there'll be very few. But again, we came up with a pretty solid budget, and I know our newspaper prints 7.5%, but it's not. It's only like 2.4% increase of new money, because we automatically get certain federal funds and state funds in. Speaking of that, by the way, state funds, you know, we in our MVH program, motor vehicle program, we this year will lose approximately $361,000 out of that fund. We haven't hired anybody in 15 years in that area, but the state is only allowing us $1.2 million for that particular department. That department, you know, removes snow, cleans streets, fixes alleys, repairs some streets, and when you get cut $361,000 or $381,000, I may be off a couple thousand here and there, but that hurts a department. And, you know, people continue, we want roads, we want our street repaired, we want this. Well, everything they want, that's great, but somebody has to pay for it.
So how are you going to make up that $361,000?
Well, right now we're looking at that, and there's a way we could do it. But what we have to do, we have to dip into a couple of our funds that are quite healthy and pay that back, and then next year look at what can we do different.
All right.
So it'll work out again for 1 year, but this can't continue to happen. So, you know, it's, you know, we get cut in the thoroughfare money that we get from the state, so maybe the state's getting healthier, but cities aren't. So, you know, it's just one of those things. We'll live through it, but It's tough for every mayor. You know, I'm not the only mayor going through this. Every mayor in the state of Indiana is going through this. So we'll work our way through it and, I guess, be better for it at the end of the day.
Since you reference other mayors, I'm tempted to bring up one of your colleagues, Kevin Burke, who said, you know, I have no idea how much money we're going to have because bills haven't gone out and we don't know what our tax rate's going to be. And, you know, this whole property tax problem has made it difficult, if not impossible, to forecast revenues. And so he didn't include anything except salaries. And wonder what kind of reaction that gets from you and from other colleagues of Mayor Burke over in Terre Haute.
Well, I think it's very similar. We know our tax rate. We found that out from the state, which it went down, I believe, 6 cents. But what does that say? It doesn't say anything except we're being responsible. But, you know, what about the valuation of homes? You know, if they've gone up, that means they'll be paying a little bit more. So I don't see a significant increase in Columbus, Indiana, on property taxes. But I do see some sort of an increase because the trending issue has come through now, and people now are paying, I suppose, depends on who you talk to, taxes on the property value of their home. Again, I think if you go to some other counties, they're going to say that's not right. You know, I couldn't sell my home for this amount of money and blah, 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 blah. And that may be true. I don't know. But I think in Columbus, Indiana, Bartholomew County, for the most part, we're going to be okay. But I'm just like Kevin. I don't have that exact number yet.
And when do you get that number?
We should the tax statement should go out in about 4 weeks, and we'll know. But just looking at our tax rate, and we can look at numbers to that, we know approximately what we should be receiving, you know, in those particular categories. But it's just a guess at this time. But I think we're going to be fine. Again, when you say your tax rate goes down 6 cents, that's a pretty significant reduction. So, but we'll see. It also means that, you know, somebody's property assessed valuation went up.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see how that works out.
When you say it goes down 6 cents, what's it at then?
We're going to be down at about 85 cents.
Per 100,000?
So that's pretty reasonable. I would guess we're fourth or fifth in the state, the lowest in property tax rate. And that's because we have a lot of industry. You know, we're very fortunate in Columbus to have that. So, you know, it's right now it's just a guess, but I'm guessing we're going to be okay. I'm guessing that our property taxes, as far as the bottom line bill, will go up, but I don't think it's going to be a significant jump as other communities have had. So
we'll find out.
Yes, we will, and when we will, I hope I'm happy. You know, but again,
you might be
right
out of town.
Now it's just a guess, and I'm guessing that it's going to be okay, although it will go up a little.
I want to remind our listeners that we're visiting with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. If you have a comment or question for the mayor, the number is 877-285-9348. That's a toll-free number. In Bloomington, you can call 855-0811. And the email address, if you'd like to send us something online, is mayor@indiana.edu. We'll come back to this budget, I suspect, before the end of the program, but we do have an email question. And this person writes in to ask, I was with a group of bicyclists last week. Our intent was to get from the downtown area to a restaurant in northeast Columbus in the 25th and Taylor area by means of people trails and side streets. We weren't able to find a trail or side street that crosses National Road. All the crossings are main arterials. Did we miss something? Are there plans for a trail across National Road?
Well, I would have to look at the big plan again, but we have a lot of different trail systems out there wanting to do all of them. But again, funding is the most important thing. There is a way that you can get to the northeast part of town. It's not exactly a people trails, but it's a trail that you do have to cross a pretty huge intersection, 31. But you can do it in a safe manner, and there are sidewalks that you could ride on if necessary to get to a restaurant. Again, they're not all perfect. In a perfect world, I guess we would have all people trails leading to wherever people wanted them to lead, but you can only do what you can with a certain amount of money. It's just like the people trails that we're looking at going to Nashville, Indiana. Of course, that's a huge state project, but it's one of those things that you prepare for the future, and maybe 10, 11, 12 years down the road that happens. But our park and recreation, they do a pretty good job of trying to get as many people trails for as many people that they can get done and accomplish a feat. And not everybody's going to be happy with every single trail on every single area, but for the most part, our trails are marked. People can use them. There are many miles of those trails, and I think they're only going to get better because those are so important to this community. In fact, we just had a meeting the other night, and I don't know if you read about our Weston Edge people, that we're looking at bicycle trails through a subdivision, and they weren't very happy about it. And we met, and I think we're going to come up with a nice compromise to help them and us. But again, it's a people trail type issue. People like the people trails. So,
what plans are there for the near term, the next year or two, in terms of expansion of that system?
Well, again, we have to wait and see what type of funding that we're going to have available. Through our MPO, we can look at 3 years down the road. What can we do? We can't do anything immediate. It has to be a 3-year plan. So, I would say there'll be some new trails that will go in next year and probably a few the following year, but it won't be any long distances. You won't see a Columbus to Nashville trail. But inside the city, you'll see some, a development in that particular arena that will certainly increase our inventory on people's trails.
Now, I, every now and again, I need to translate for folks who don't deal in municipal stuff. And when you say MPO, you mean Metropolitan Planning Organization?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so they set up that schematic and that planning structure for
yes.
what kind of trails, pedestrian and otherwise, go on in the community?
You know, it's just like we have on the north part of town right now, Rocky Ford Road Project. That's a huge, huge project, but it's been in plans for about 12 years, and we're just now getting to it this year. And it was really needed, but now we got people saying, why isn't it done yet? Well, it's one of those projects that's a $4.5 million project, and we're still trying to keep Rocky Ford Road open to the public, which has slowed things down. But it's going to be a great thing once it's accomplished. It's going to be fine. In fact, you're going to see bicycles and people are going to be a lot happier because on both sides you're going to have some very wide sidewalks where people can ride their bicycles and people can walk. So, you know, those things, it just takes a little time, and that was 12 years in the making. So, you know, it's just one of those things you have to think for the future, and that's what we try to do.
We're speaking with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. It's about 25 minutes past the hour, and we'll have about 10 more minutes of his time before we let him go. If you have a comment or question, please feel free to join the program. Mayor, as you meet over the next couple of weeks tonight and over the next few weeks about the municipal budget, I know in some of our other communities that we serve in Terre Haute and certainly in Kokomo and to some degree in Bloomington, the upcoming elections are affecting people's comments about the budget and what people ought to be doing. Are you having that situation over there?
Oh, probably. You know, people have to blame somebody for something. You know, instead of working with people, we blame people. I do the same thing, let's face it. But again, it's just like this particular budget. I'm working with the council. We don't care if we're Democrats, Republicans. We're working for the community, and we're trying to do the right thing and get as many projects going as we can without raising taxes. So, yes, there'll be people who will complain instead of, you know, coming in and saying, here's the way I see it. They'd rather put it out in the news media and get things going. But, you know, the bottom line is we ask for these jobs. I don't mind being criticized, but let's make sure the criticism is in the right place. But I think that there will be a lot of mayors that will lose their jobs this year. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and I don't know if this is going to happen. We hope not. Our taxes will not be going out until mid-October.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to get their taxes, and they're going to look at it, and some will go up, and some will maybe stay about the same, but they're going to look at that bottom line. They're not going to look to see where their taxes are being paid. they're just going to look at that bottom line and say it's the mayor's fault, because they have to have somebody to blame. Mm-hmm. And it's an election year for mayors. It is an election year for state people or county people. It's an election year for mayors. So let's blame somebody and let's kick this person out of office. Now, maybe some of them deserve it. Heck, maybe I deserve it. I don't know. But it's one of those things that people have to blame somebody instead of working together, like the council and I have, although we're of different parties. We're working together for the betterment of Columbus. And that's what people need to recognize. I'm going to live in this community far after I'm out of this office. And I want it good for myself and my family and everybody else. But, you know, these things happen, the taxes, let's just blame that couple in northern Indiana several years ago who filed the lawsuit. Again, we could go through that again, but it's one of those things that changed, and now the state has to fix it. And they're not bad people, as I've said before, but they do need to fix what's broken. And I think they'll do that. They just need to make it a priority instead of dancing around. Just fix the daggone thing.
Do you think there's going to be a need for a special session?
Oh, there should have been a special session already, is my opinion. But that's just me. I think they're going to have to take their time and have some due diligence. And I know the governor has appointed this committee to work on this, but to be quite honest with you, Indiana Association of Cities and Towns has that information. Why pay for it twice? You know, we went around to several states and we took the best of all. Said, here's what we can do to not. It will not do away with property taxes, but it'll freeze property taxes again. But the state will have to look at that. They are the ones who will have to make the laws, and hopefully it'll be bipartisan. Let's not kick Democrats or Republicans in the teeth. Let's work together and get the daggone thing resolved.
If the legislature, in your view, if the legislature had passed Hometown Matters the way it was proposed, would we be faced with the situation we have now in many communities of some significant property tax hikes?
Yes, I feel it would have been okay. Yep.
Really?
Yep. It would have been perfect? Nope. We don't live in a perfect world. Would have been better? Yes, it would have been better. But again, you have certain representatives, and I'm not going to name them. But,
oh, come on, name them.
No, I won't name them, but maybe at some other date I will. But, you know, that'll sit there, and they'll chastise, and I've been chastised by one state representative and then found out later, as I told him, you're wrong. And he was wrong, but did he come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong? Oh, no, you know, he didn't do that. But the bottom line is they're trying to do a job. And honestly, I don't care what political affiliate, they're trying to do the right thing, except sometimes they don't look at the big picture. Mm-hmm. And I think that if they get their heads together and work things out, it'll be fine. And again, I can say that because I have six Republican city council members, and we work together to make sure things are good. Do we agree on everything? Heck no. We don't, but we seem to work it out without pointing fingers and without calling one a Democrat and one a Republican. We just work it out. And I think if that would happen in our state arena, things would be a lot better. But as you well know, politics play a role. And so that's the way it is, and yeah. that's just the way it is.
Well, let's talk about something else that's just the way it is, which is the weather. It's been just incredibly hot and dry over the past summer, past 90 days in particular. Some cities having to go to water rationing. In Bedford, I see they've got a new announcement about that, and they've got a thing about open burning in Bartholomew County.
Yep.
Now, how are things in Columbus proper in terms of water supply and in terms of having expenditures on water and that sort of thing?
Well, water is not an issue in Columbus. We probably sit on the largest aquifer in southern Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So the water is not the issue for us. What really is the issue is exactly what you mentioned, the dryness. We had a concert here Saturday night down at Millrace Park, 15,000 people down there, and I'm thinking, oh, my, it's so dry. If somebody would light a match, we would all be in trouble, and I think we would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so dry right now. You know, the humidity is going away. I'm just surprised that we haven't had a lot of field fires, people throwing their cigarettes out the window or whatever. And that's what I'm concerned about now, and we all should be concerned. Now, hopefully, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever, it's going to rain, and it'll help us immensely. But right now, it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dangerous, and people, I hope, out there are paying attention, and if they're smoking a cigarette or doing something that something to do with fire, they'd be very, very careful, because it could damage a lot of homes, a lot of fields that will just go quickly into a housing development just so fast. So it is dangerous, and I think firefighters are out keeping an eye on things, and law enforcement are keeping a close eye on fields, and hopefully we'll be fortunate and we won't have any more damage than what we've had already.
You haven't had much in Columbus to speak of, have you?
Not a whole lot, no. We had a field fire yesterday. It burned about an acre, but it started in a couple bales of hay. And, again, it wasn't in Columbus, but how quickly it can spread, it's just fire scares me. You know, that's why I was a police officer versus a firefighter, because I didn't want to go into a burning building, nor do I want to go into a burning field. But it's unbelievable. If people have watched television and they've seen some terrible things in fires, it can happen, and let's just hope it doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, maybe we'll get a break later
absolutely.
This week. It'll rain
I
for
hope
a change.
So.
Let's talk quickly. We only have about two more minutes,
okay.
maybe three, but that's time for one answer from you anyway.
Okay.
And that's about the combined sewer overflow.
Yeah.
You were taking a tour of facilities and the infrastructure. Give us a report.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you, we have 109 cities in Indiana that have a combined sewer overflow issue. We're taking care of ours. It's a $45 million expense. And I wanted to see what $45 million did, you know, because you can't see this. It's going to be buried. But I went down, had a nice tour with the contractors and our utilities director, and let me tell you, this is going to be great for our environment. We won't be dumping solid waste into our rivers. It's going to be nice. I know it's expensive, but let me tell you, if you could get a chance and come to Columbus and look at this, it's great. But the people can't see it,
mm-hmm.
and that's the scary thing. They're paying this rate. But they can't see, you know, you build a road, you can see a road, but you can't see what's under that road. So
what was the effect on ratepayers? What kind of increase?
We had about a 50% increase.
Mm-hmm.
It is excellent, though. I mean, they're doing the right thing. It's probably overdue. But at the end of the day, I just want to tell everybody, every community that has to go through this, get this thing done. I know it hurts. But it's going to be so much better. You know, what we all do, we don't look at this. What we do is we flush our commodes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we take our showers, and we turn off that faucet, and we flush, and that's all we think about.
Mm-hmm.
But what goes on besides that is unbelievable. So give all your utility departments a pat on the back that they're going to get the combined sewer overflow taken care of, and it costs a lot of money, but it's going to be well worth it in the long run.
Now, is that work? What's the status of that work? I'm not familiar with the construction schedule on that.
Well, it looks as though within 60 days we should have our part of this half done, which is, you know, about $22-23 million, and then we're going to finish it up towards next year. And when we go into the Mill Race Park area, it's going to be great. But, again, will that take care of 100% of it? No, but it'll take care of a huge amount. I can't remember the number of gallons now that these pipes will take, but it's somewhere around 25 million gallons a day that they can run through there.
Yeah.
And it's just, well, I got in one of those pipes and I stood up in the pipe. You could drive a car through this pipe.
Wow.
So that's why it's taken so much. But other communities have the same issue we have. We're going to be one of the first to have it taken care of, because it's only good for our environment, and
mm-hmm.
it's just good for what we need to be doing. So,
all righty. Well, Mayor Armstrong,
we're
going to have to leave it there. We thank you for your time.
Reconciliation Day, by the way,
yes.
October 4th.
All righty. We had to squeeze that in. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We've been visiting with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. I'm Will Murphy. Join us again on September 12th when our guest will be Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Berg. On behalf of producer Adam Ragusa and engineer Mike Pashkash, I'm Will Murphy. Thanks for listening.